Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, March 6th, as LeBron James pushes Detroit further into the abyss. No Larry Brown today, just me, your host, Matt Shook. You can find me on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Give us a follow on the Locked On Pistons Twitter account as well, and also on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. And I've been covering this team on this podcast since the very beginning of October of last year, and we've been going strong all season. I want to thank you guys for joining us throughout the year, as it's been a roller coaster ride of sorts, and we've kind of weathered the storm together on social media and also on the podcast as well. I've been covering sports for newspapers full-time for 12 to 15 years or so since graduating from Central Michigan University. I was a Pistons fan my entire life, like many of you, so I'm sympathetic to the plight that we're facing as a franchise right now. And today we'll be recapping the latest Pistons loss, this time to LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I'll be laying out some of my thoughts on the future of Stan Van Gundy, the Pistons coach and team president. I'm going to shape how I look at both sides of the argument of whether he should come back next year. And I promise that by shortly after the season, or possibly by the end of the season, I'll have that clear vision of where I think Stan Van Gundy's future should be with Detroit. I realize that as the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, I should probably have my own clear-cut opinion on where I think it should be. I see both sides of it. I'm kind of been waffling on it, been thinking a little bit about it these last few days, and reading a lot of your tweets out there and reading a lot of the assessments from all corners of the internet about folks on both sides of it. But we'll put some of those thoughts together a little bit today, and then we'll do a little bit of a group therapy outing as well. I'll get us started today, but I'll be asking for your help, and I'll have a little bit of details about what I mean about that a little later on in the show. But on Monday, the Pistons lose 112-90 to the Cleveland Cavaliers, the multiple-time defending Eastern Conference champions. The Pistons now have 18 games to go in the season and now sit 5 games behind the Miami Heat and Milwaukee Bucks, who are tied for 7th place in the Eastern Conference playoff standings. The Pistons are now just 1 game ahead of Charlotte, who is in 10th in the East. It's hard to find a path. It gets harder and harder every day to find a path back into the race. That doesn't include some sort of ridiculous winning streak the Pistons could go on at any moment now, but there's not much reason to see one of those on the horizon, especially given the amount of road games left. The Pistons are now 6 games under 500 for the first time this season, the lowest mark of the year. And now the Pistons, we will host the Toronto Raptors on Wednesday and then the Chicago Bulls on Friday before hitting the road for 6 games after that. The good news is that Toronto plays host to Atlanta tonight and then is at Detroit on Wednesday, which is really good news for the Pistons, because since the Blake Griffin trade over a month ago now, the Pistons still haven't beat a team that was not on a back-to-back. But the good news is they haven't lost to a team that is coming off of one either. So they've taken care of all the teams that they've played on a back-to-back, but haven't beaten any of those teams that are not on back-to-back. So we will see. Pistons Wednesday against the Toronto Raptors. That game will be on ESPN, by the way, a little bit later than usual with an 8 o'clock Eastern time start. And after the Toronto and Chicago games this week, the Pistons have a long weekend and then head out west for a 6-game West Coast road trip after that, which starts a week from today, I believe, in Utah on Tuesday. But again, for Monday, Blake Griffin, again, playing a lot better, especially early on, kind of compounding from his individual success that he had on Saturday against the Miami Heat. He finished against the Cavs 25 points, 8 rebounds, and 5 assists. And in a strange way, despite the fact that Detroit's season has been shattered by this 3-game losing streak over this long weekend here, at least Blake looks like the player that you might expect him to be for making the kind of dough that he'll be making in the coming years. Offensively, the team just goes with a lot of dribble handoffs and the half-court set, which is pretty much what all this was a half-court game. Blake did a lot of backing in from the perimeter, a little bit of point forward at times, handling the ball, bringing it up the court more than he has. They couldn't get Drummond involved at all in any meaningful way in the half-court offense. And like I said, no transition offense at all. And you think with guys like James Ennis, Reggie Bullock, Ish Smith, Stanley Johnson, those wing players and guards that they have, they don't have a lot of overall value offensively as individuals and as a unit. but they can all kind of run up and down the floor, I'd say a little bit better than the average player. But of course, hard to get going transition-wise unless you're making stops on defense, and that's hard to do if you're a bad defensive team going up against a LeBron James-led offensive team, and Larry Nance having a great game, a career high for him as well. And that was another problem for the Pistons is Blake defensively matched up with LeBron some and actually looked okay, but LeBron knocked down some outside shots, which loosened things up for the Cavs. Drummond had 15 points and 9 rebounds, very efficient, but like I said, the Pistons couldn't find ways to get him going involved in the offense. 11 points for Reggie Bullock. Stan Van Gundy's been talking lately about how he's tired these days, especially putting up all sorts of career highs and minutes played and all that kind of stuff. He's not used to playing these long seasons of being a rotational player for teams. So maybe we shouldn't expect much from Bullock down the stretch, which is bad news because he's been a bright spot for the Pistons this year. A little bit of credit should be given to Eric Morland. He showed a little bit of spark at times offensively, at least being aggressive and going for shots, which is something that he's going to have to do if they're going to continue to keep him getting some minutes at the backup five when Blake Griffin's not playing that position. I don't want to be that guy all the time, and I thought this was a game where the officials struggled a little bit, and that hurt the Pistons and impacted things when it was in doubt. But of course, after about the middle of the third quarter, after the Cavaliers went on their run there, the game wasn't really in doubt anyway. It certainly wasn't a game that you can blame on the officials or anything like that, but worth noting from my perspective. Larry Nance Jr., his first start with the Cavs at 22 points and 15 rebounds. And if he's that kind of player, you got to believe that the Cavs are probably the favorites to win in the Eastern Conference again. Maybe there's some of you guys out there who might disagree with that, but I've always been one to put my money on guys like LeBron James when playoff time comes around, and he showed why again on Monday. 31 points, 7 rebounds, and 7 assists, 5 of 7 from three-point land, and just not much you can do in terms of defending LeBron James when he's hitting those outside shots, because you got to give up something with him, and if he's hitting them, then you're going to be in a lot of trouble, and the Pistons were certainly there on Monday night in Cleveland. But like I said, I'm going to be laying out some of my thoughts on Stan Van Gundy as it pertains to his future with the team here on Locked On Pistons. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want men 18 to 44, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. So email me at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes!
A little bit later, we're going to be talking about the podcast here at Locked On Pistons and a project we're going to do where I need some of your help. Not that big a help, but I want to see if some of you guys want to get involved in that. But as you know, Stan Van Gundy is in the fourth of his five-year deal as coach and team president of the Detroit Pistons. And in taking over the team, it's been a disappointment overall. To the press after the game on Monday, Stan Van Gundy said, "The thing can change, and it can change quickly and overnight," Van Gundy said at Quicken Loans Arena, according to the article from Vince Ellis in the Free Press. "I've seen it. I've coached it. The problem is it's getting late, so it's got to come like now. We've got to win some games and do it now. But do I have confidence that we can get it done? Absolutely." So a little bit of positivity from Stan there, probably coming from some of the early days, as Vince noted in his article, at Miami. I think his first full season, they had a miraculous run to get into the playoffs in the second part of the season, which would coincide kind of similarly to where the Pistons are in the standings right now. So he has done it in the past. If you want to keep holding out hope that the Pistons still have a run or more in them the rest of the season. But as we've seen with Rick Carlisle and Doug Collins and some of the other better coaches that the Pistons have had in the past, the right coach can come in and take a dire situation with the Pistons and change the franchise's fortune rather quickly. But when you think about Stan Van Gundy's time here, you know, keep in mind that he did change things pretty quickly in a lot of ways when he came in here. The Pistons were near the bottom of the league when Stan Van Gundy came in. They had that 5 or 6 years of turbulence in the post-going-to-work era where they were not just losing, but they were an embarrassment of a franchise in a lot of ways. The buffoonery, as Vince Ellis of the Free Press called it back in those days. A little bit of a slight improvement in year one for Stan Van Gundy, and then a big leap to the playoffs in year two. The next two seasons, as we know, have been disappointments and at times a bit of a mess. I'm on record in this podcast as suggesting that Arne Tellem, who's pretty much is the decision maker in some ways for the organization under owner Tom Gores, that he should strip Stan Van Gundy of his front office duties going into the next season. I think we've seen not only in Detroit but around the league that that type of arrangement doesn't work. You had Mike Budenholzer of the Atlanta Hawks and Doc Rivers of the Los Angeles Clippers. They had the final say privileges taken away this offseason by their organizations, and those have been in some smaller ways, a success in both places. Rivers has the Clippers kind of overachieving despite a lot of injuries, while Budenholzer has probably the worst roster in the league, and they're competing every night and playing sound defense and still sticking standings-wise to that tank, organization-wide look that they're going through right now. Like I said, playing sound defense, laying that foundation for playing hard and tough, which should serve the Hawks well as they transition into some sort of reasonable NBA roster as time goes on. So Stan Van Gundy can possibly point to those organizations as reasons to keep him around as a coach if that's what he wants. And obviously we can't get into his mind right now. But tactically, he hasn't just shown enough consistently to prove his worth as a coach. But to his credit, even this season, the offensive changes he made early on led to a fantastic start for the Pistons season. It'd be a reasonable assumption to say that he should be able to install some good action going into next year offensively. And of course, it would help to see some of that as soon as possible, especially maybe this year if Reggie Jackson comes back and looks effective at all and relatively injury-free when he comes back. Maybe you can see some glimpses of what the offense could look like next year under Van Gundy. But the biggest question that I'd have when analyzing the situation is, if not Stan Van Gundy, then who? I saw some of you guys on Twitter on Monday night with lists that include guys like Jerry Stackhouse and Mark Jackson and David Fizdale. I think Stack has a chance to be a successful NBA coach someday, but I think he's going to have to start at the bottom. He's going to be a good candidate for one of these teams that's coming off of a tank, so he can kind of learn on the job a little bit as opposed to handling what. When you're looking at the Pistons roster and looking at Blake Griffin's contract, next year is going to be their best chance to win. So do you want a rookie coach in there who's kind of getting his feet wet with an NBA locker room full of three guys that are pretty big egos that think they deserve to be stars and all that kind of stuff? I don't know if that's a fair place to put Stackhouse in for his first NBA coaching position. You can't put him in a position with a veteran team with a chance to win is kind of where I'm at with that. Mark Jackson, when he left Golden State, they immediately became a dynasty. I think that pretty much shows all you need to know about him. He had the Warriors. They got rid of him, and then they became a great team. He had a power struggle with the owner, Joe Lacob, and we see how that worked out. Now, fair or unfair, history hasn't been kind to Mark Jackson's time in Golden State. And he also had a power struggle with general manager Bob Myers, who was a protege of Arne Tellem, the Pistons' now CEO, basically. So that relationship and that history kind of puts a connection with the Pistons in doubt for Mark Jackson. Mark Jackson, by the way, is a pastor and very open about his religion. Nothing wrong with that. And it works in some locker rooms. And I know that Stan Van Gundy has burned some of the bridges of the fan base possibly with his politics, but I think the last thing we need is an overreaction the other way. Not that I think that his religion should disqualify him from his strong Christian beliefs should disqualify him from being coach of the Pistons, but I just don't think that some locker rooms that would work. If Steph Curry's your best player and he's a devout religious man as well, maybe that does work out, but I don't know. I guess I can't speak to the how that would go in the Pistons locker room. Maybe some of the beat guys might be able to tell you, but it bordered on from the reports that I've read about Mark Jackson and Golden State, it bordered on a little forcing young players to kind of come along with some of the preachings and teachings that Mark Jackson had. And he'd always reference it in interviews. And again, obviously nothing wrong with that, but how would that play in the locker room is a question that you might want to ask. David Fizdale, by the way, and whoever was running the Detroit Bad Boys Twitter account, I'm not familiar who runs that, but I'm kind of with them in that there's no way that I think that this is the direction of Mark Jackson that the team should go. Now, David Fizdale, he was coaching in Memphis for one season and had a 500 team and got bounced in the first round. And then he butts heads this year with Marc Gasol, and about 20 games of the season, he gets fired. That's his entire head coaching career. And I know he had a lot of success on the bench with the Miami Heat as an assistant under Eric Spoelstra, the top assistant. And the Suns are reportedly interested. There's a little talk about the Lakers if they move on from Luke Walton as well, although with the way the Lakers are playing lately, I don't think that they'll be making a move anytime soon. But maybe with the helpful ties that Fizdale has to LeBron James, LeBron James thinks very highly of David Fizdale. So maybe the Lakers could think that could be part of the package for attracting James to La La Land. But, you know, keep in mind if you're the Pistons, too, that you got teams like Orlando, who I kind of like their young base. You know, Jonathan Isaac and then Dwight Gordon and Hezonja. I know Hezonja is going to be a free agent this summer, but Vucevic is also a nice young player to factor in when looking at the rosters. Teams like Orlando might be looking for a coach next year if they move on from Frank Vogel. The New York Knicks, obviously always a big-time job, despite the fact that they are the New York Knicks these days. They might be also in the coaching market this season as well. So you might be looking at going for your third or fourth choice this year if you do let go of Stan Van Gundy. But of course, you know, I get it. There doesn't appear to be much roster flexibility for the Pistons this summer. And so fans might be clamoring for a change on the bench. And I know that certainly a lot of you guys listening are, and a lot of the fans out there on social media certainly do want to get rid of Stan Van Gundy. But to be honest, I didn't like Stan Van Gundy when he was in Miami, in Orlando. I always felt like he kind of needed to be the smartest guy in the room. And the way he dealt with players such as Dwight Howard suggested that maybe he couldn't handle the modern NBA locker room. But he's our coach here with the Pistons. I've been trying to give him the benefit of the doubt over the years. I think he's earned it in some ways. But, you know, along that locker room problem, there's kind of been no sign of dissent this year with the team. Only the bad basketball on the court throughout much of the season being the biggest problem. So with all those things taken into account, that's sort of some of my thinking about the Stan Van Gundy situation. I'd say I'm leaning towards bringing him back right now at this point for now. But if the rest of the season features a bunch of more 20-point beatdowns the rest of the way, anemic offenses, and if Reggie comes back and they're still not showing a lot of promise, I reserve the right to change my mind on this. And obviously we'd be more thinking about this and talking about this on the podcast as time goes on. So more on that later, but we're going to be talking about the podcast itself and something that I want you guys to help me out with here in a little bit. But there's a new coach in Detroit as well, not yet with the Pistons as some of you might like, but Matt Patricia with Locked On the Lions, the Detroit Lions, and Matt Derry, formerly of Detroit Radio, he hosts the Locked On Lions podcast every day. You guys should check that out. Those NFL Locked On podcasts are on fire with the combine this year. NFL draft is a big deal. It's almost as big of a deal as the season in some ways to some of you football fans out there. But check out those podcasts and all the other NBA podcasts as well here on the Locked On Network, your team every day. I was looking back tonight on the back end of the Megaphone website that we use to post the podcast and realized that I've been doing this podcast since October 1st, so we're several months into it now. It's been a bit of a grind working full time and also maintaining a couple other freelance sports writing gigs as well while I do it too. But the plan is to stay with you guys through the summer and get into next season as well. We'll get to the combine here in Chicago, cover free agency, find some ways to get some content together for the dead month of August when there's not much going on in the NBA world. And of course, we'll expand the podcast into the larger NBA world, especially come playoff time and NBA finals time and whatnot. Might make for a slow summer at times, but we will come up with some ways, some interviews, some historical things, and some other gimmicks to kind of keep you guys engaged throughout the year. If you have any ideas of things we could do or things you want to hear, I want to hear them. And also along the lines, I want to hear from you for a segment that I want to put together probably for next week. So I want you guys to send me emails with thoughts or go ahead and do a 30-second or a minute rant or an opinion piece where you send me an audio file about what you think the Pistons should do or what's frustrating you about the team or what you think can be done organizationally or certain players or a trade that you think maybe this offseason they should make. Turn it into an MP3, or if not, I can just convert the whatever audio file you send. Or like I said, you can write it out as an email and I can read those, or you can probably direct message me on Twitter or something like that, or get in touch with me through Facebook and we'll play them or read those if they're text, obviously, here on the air next week sometime. We'll do like a listener segment with all of your thoughts and opinions about the team. So I want you guys to be funny, be creative, be crazy. Try to keep it to PG-13, though, if possible. And we'll read and play some of the best stuff. And I'll probably play all the stuff, if I'm being honest. But so get in touch with me on Twitter or send an email to Matt @SCHOCH at yahoo.com with your thoughts. And I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys come up with. So I'm going to have you guys do some of my work for me for next week, and I appreciate that. So thanks a lot in advance for all your hard work with that. And tomorrow, we're going to be previewing the Toronto Raptors, who are coming to town on Wednesday for a back-to-back. And we'll come up with some other fun ways to get you guys engaged as well. I'm chasing the clips of an interview that we did on the Locked On Network as well that Pistons fans will be interested in hearing bits and pieces of that hopefully we'll be able to play sometime in the next few days as well. So, again, Toronto preview coming up tomorrow. And give us a follow on the Locked On NBA Network Twitter feed at Locked On NBA Net. And also give us a like on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Show. So thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll talk to you all again soon.